Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here, along with Pastor David Martins of South Africa. How are you doing today, Pastor?
Good evening, Pastor. I'm doing fine, thank you very much. Beautiful evening in Cape Town, with winter beginning to set in. One can feel the onset of winter with the nights becoming cool and even very fresh in the morning. How are you, Pastor?
Well, we're freezing. we're having the coldest spring ever. We're setting low temperature records. And so I guess our cold weather is coming down to your area, right? So
absolutely.
Yeah, so but we had good enough weather for Passover and for Kentucky and in Arkansas. So that was good. A great time was had by all. Wonderful Bible study, wonderful comparison of personal experiences as there were some new people to identity, although most of the people there were very familiar with identity. It's just I had not met them all, but it was a pleasure to meet some new people at this feast, this Passover. And that was a very, very good experience. So anyway, welcome, folks. This is Voice of Christian Israel. This is April 8, 2018 here at Eurofolk Radio. And the shows have been doing very well. Today we've been having technical problems posting pre-recorded shows, and that probably will continue after this live presentation here. Paul English said he's working on the problem, but he thinks it's one of our servers that has gone bad and is not allowing us to broadcast pre-recorded shows. Our live shows have been doing very well today, so praise Yahweh for that. So what we have here is an article in the New York Times, and this states, woman becomes the first person accused of racism imprisoned, first South African imprisoned for racist speech. Now, in America, we have what's called hate speech laws. And I don't know that anybody's ever gone to prison for hate speech. Usually what happens is you're convicted of a crime and then they add the or accused of a crime and add the hate speech to it. I'm not aware that anybody has been imprisoned in America for using the word nigger or anything like that. But that is true in England. I've heard of that happening in England, where you can be thrown in prison just for using bad language, right? How about South Africa?
Pastor, I'm actually looking at the video now, which is on the article. This whole thing is preempted by a series of other events, but yes, you're right. In South Africa, it is all okay for the president even to sing "Kill the farmer, kill the boer." It is okay for a black man to drive up to a white woman on the side of the road, get out, slap her through the face, knock her to the ground, kick her in the guts, get into the car and drive off. It's okay. That is fine. It's not racist.
Yeah.
But the moment that you use the K word, it's like the N word in America.
Right.
That is such a violent crime, just to name it. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of people that have already been prosecuted because of the use of that K word. I don't know if you can recall the lady you had on your show in 2013 when we had the Red Balloon Day.
Yes.
Sunette Bridges.
Yes.
Can you recall her?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we had a series of interviews. Yes.
Yes. Somebody had used that word on one of her Facebook pages, and she didn't clear, or none of her admins saw it quick enough to actually remove it from her Facebook page. So she was actually subpoena to appear before the Human Rights Commission to stand in for that particular occasion. You see, what these scoundrels do, they actually entice people to get highly annoyed, and in their state of annoyance, then to use words to describe their feelings.
I'm just describing my feelings. What's wrong with that?
In a country which claims to have the most advanced, the highest level of authority in South Africa, well, in any country, is its
legal system.
Just a moment, Pastor. Yeah.
Okay.
Legal system.
Yeah.
For those listening, the word is kafir, and David James just did a show where he's going to try to avoid using the word nigger, right? But we use it anyway because it's so often referenced. Plus, there's no criminality associated with it in America. It's just the Jews will castigate you if you use that word. But I'm looking here real quickly. Because the origin of the word kafir is actually of Arabic origin, and it simply means unbeliever. It means
exactly.
Yeah. So.
But Pastor, South Africa claims to have, well, as one of the youngest democracies or so-called democracies in the world.
Right.
It claims to have the most progressive and advanced constitution in the world.
Okay.
Now, one of the things that this constitution has absolutely failed, and that is to provide people of minority groups with the freedom of free speech. Now, free speech in South Africa is fine. If you're a black man, you can call a white man whatever you like. You can call him what you like. There's no such thing as a black man being a racist against a white man. Also, something else. This very same word is used daily by blacks amongst themselves. They call one another this word.
Right.
But it just shows that. Well, the events that preempted this particular case was thieves broke into this woman's car. And then when the police arrived, she used this word, and then they reprimanded her for the use of this word. And, of course, she was in a state of shock. They were the conditions were not conducive for a female to be alone in that particular state in the evening and at night.
I'll bet.
So or even a male.
a white person, right? Yeah.
Exactly. But because it's a white person, and as I said, these conditions that prevailed for her at the time were non-conducive to her safety. So when the you can actually see it on the video.
Mm-hmm.
It is dark. It is the car had been broken into, and then with this woman being so annoyed, and I had my cell phone stolen. In fact, I was robbed of my cell phone Saturday of last week in the middle of Cape Town.
Wow!
And Benisa and myself were passing along on a pavement alongside a landmark building in Cape Town. And the next minute, we were just surrounded by, must have been about 8 to 10 blacks. And the one black now, Benise held her handbag under her arm. And I was afraid that they would grab a handbag. So I stepped out of the way of a black man who came straight for me. And in spite of the fact that I had stepped out of his way, he came straight for me. And the next minute, I realized it must be a setup for something. And I grabbed for my cell phone in my pocket, and as I grabbed for my cell phone in my pocket, it was gone. And then the next minute, I realized that we were being robbed, and I had my firearm with me, and I was ready to use it, but I was afraid that with this group so close, right up, I mean, bumping against us,
right,
It could have become a very dangerous situation from the point of view that they could have lashed out at me with knives.
Right.
Alternatively, had I fired, I could have fired and killed or even, killed somebody who was totally innocent, which would have put me in a bad position in any case. So what I did was I turned around to see him, what was that bumped against me. And I grabbed him by the shoulder and I started feeling for his pockets to feel. But of course they work in clumps and in gangs. The one bumps, another one grabs the cell phone.
Right.
And he passes it on to the next person who just walks by and continues walking. So wherever that situation occurs, you totally I would say you're totally vulnerable because you in a state of shock. Nobody really sees what happened. Nobody can point out to you what the event or the events were. You just know you were bumped, your cell phone is gone.
Yeah.
And I was also concerned at the time for Bernice's safety because they were not just around me, they were around her as well. And I was afraid that her handbag would be grabbed.
Well, you're fortunate. It was just a purse snatching or pickpocketing incident because they could have intention to just beat you up, which they fortunately did not do. But, all right, thank you. Praise Yahweh for that. Yeah.
But the police were there within minutes. But they said to me that unless I will be able to identify the person, well, the first thing that I tried to do, I had two cell phones with me. I grabbed my second cell phone and I tried ringing my other cell phone to hear where it would ring.
Right.
But by that time, and I was in a state of shock, and you don't realize or you don't think straight at the time. The first thing that you're thinking of is self-protection.
Yes.
And then I dialed the number and it was already turned off.
Because
it wasn't. I couldn't have.
Are you sure it wasn't ringing in the police officer's pocket?
No, it definitely was not.
But
the thing that I wanted to say, I could have been in. Well, I was in a position where I could have gone off ranting about and using the K word. I didn't. I specifically abstained from it.
Yeah, you would have been arrested, like this woman.
I would have been arrested.
Yeah.
So the thing is, the police would have been witnesses to my ranting about the K word, but the person who grabbed or bumped against me, or this gang who bumped against me and grabbed my cell phone, that's okay. It is somebody's got to buy a new cell phone, so it is conducive and it actually advances the country's economy for a new cell phone.
Let the cracker buy a new cell phone. Cracker is the black term for whites. That's a derogatory term for whites here in America. I don't know. They probably have a word for you. The blacks probably have a word for white people too.
Yes, they have, but it's not.
It's cracker.
Not a word that I could use on.
But you might be arrested for using that word too, right? You can't win either way.
Positive, there's an excuse to be arrested for racism in South Africa. It's done. But remember, never in the case of a black man, as I said before, you can call a black man can call a white man whatever he wants. There's no case for a racism complaint on that.
Right.
Yeah.
If he called a white man a taxpayer, he'd probably be correct, because if you used that of a black person, you'd probably be incorrect. Yeah. What percentage of blacks do you think actually pay taxes in South Africa? Virtually all of them are on the dole provided for by white taxpayers.
Pastor, you must remember that in South Africa, because of the lack of public infrastructure, the blacks run taxis. I think you can recall the numerous taxis, the Toyota Hiaces, and these microbuses that can carry up to 16 people at a time.
Right.
Now, This is how this economy works. The blacks work for white people in their houses and in their gardens, in their factories, in their shops, etc.
Okay.
Because it had become mandatory for any business to have a certain a percentage of black employees. However, the large chains, which are all controlled and owned by Jews,
right,
seem to have 100% black face on the wherever the public meets this business, whether it be a chain store like Walmart. In fact, Walmart now owns the largest chain stores in South Africa as well.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
And there I as a white person in South Africa, if I walk into this shop, if I see another white person in any of the management positions or any of the the cashiers.
Right.
They are all people of color. In other words, mm-hmm. It seems like it's 100% thing. It's strange to walk into any business, a bank in a municipality or in a into any business, and to see a white person behind a desk is strange in South Africa. Whenever it is a public organization or a private organization, a large corporation, everybody seems to be people right. of color.
Well, let me Okay, go ahead. Finish your thought.
So the whites have been totally marginalized and actually, basically moved out of the public eye altogether.
But if you go
behind the doors of these large corporations and state parastatals, etc., you will find that there are white males there. And if you see a white male there, the chances of him being not a Freemason is minutely small.
Right, right. Non-Freemasons need not apply. Okay, because I remember when I was there, it's going on, 3.5 years now, that I was there in South Africa, and I remember I had forgotten some parts because I had an Apple laptop, and I couldn't plug it in without the proper adapters. So you took me to a shopping mall where there was an Apple store, and I could purchase the correct adapters, right, which were quite expensive. It cost me $100 in American money for the adapters. You know, some people can buy a whole computer for $100. But anyway, that's what I had to pay. But I was faced with a black employee who had no idea, you know, what I wanted. So I was chauffeured over to a white manager. And so this white manager knew what I wanted, and he was able to provide it for me. So, and so as you're saying, behind the scenes, there's white people running the operation, because as we have here in America, black people do not know how to manage a store. They can't manage businesses because they're just too disorganized, and they do not have the ability to think ahead and make plans, which is what all businesses require, right? That's why you see the city of Detroit, Michigan, being in total ruin, because they have had black mayors, and none of these black mayors in any city, in any anywhere in the world, really, that has a black mayor, it's just a question of time before that city goes completely to hell, because the black administration cannot manage anything, all right? So, and that's what's true of your country, South Africa. Since you've had a black administration, things have been getting terribly, terribly worse on a consistent basis. But we cannot criticize them, and we cannot call them names. They can do whatever they please, as you were just saying, and get away with it. But we have to be really careful what we say and do in their presence. Yeah. So, okay, now, hold on. Let me just go to this article, because the double standard of white versus black and black versus white, and the same thing is true of Jews. The Jews are always more equal than others, And as you said, the Jews are more equal than others in every country. But now in South Africa, because we have a black administration, blacks are more equal than whites, even though the whites pay the vast majority of all the taxes. So if Vicky Momberg had only unleashed a high-volume tirade at the South African police officers, video of it would have been of mere passing interest. But her repeated use of a racial slur, unfamiliar to most Americans, but explosive in South Africa, made her notorious and led to demands to make her an example. Now, here's an example of the crime being committed against her, which is a violent crime, is not considered headline-worthy, but the use of the word kafir suddenly becomes headlines around the world.
Yeah, it's blown out of proportion, Pastor. In fact, if you, I wouldn't be surprised that behind this prosecution of this woman, there might even be an organization like AfriForum, okay, an African organization whom have, as we've already discussed on numerous occasions before, and as is obviously evident in so many aspects of the situation in South Africa, that they exploit situations like this for their own agenda or for the purpose of furthering their own agenda. To give you an example, and I'm going to mention it here, the Human Rights Commission in South Africa had declared the singing of this song, Kill a Farmer, Kill the Boer, they declared that as hate speech, and it was it had legal implications.
Now, were any blacks put in prison for singing this song?
Pastor, no, but this is just what I wanted to get to. Julius Malema, he used to be the youth leader of the ANC Youth League. And he used this song expressively on numerous occasions. And then AfriForum, an organization that call themselves, it's an organization that stands so-calledly for justice and the rights in particular, that they present themselves as if they are there for the to ensure that the white man also has a right in South Africa. So what they did, and they do this kind of thing often, is they send out messages and they send out emails and asking people, and they advertise on the radio as well for people to assist them and to give them the oomph and the financial resources to take Julius Malema to court. And by texting a particular word to a particular number will then put a certain amount of money into their pocket, which will then go towards the paying for the legal fees of taking Julius Malema to court. When they had Julius Malema in court, and when it became evident that the judge was going to rule in their favor, that Julius Malema transgressed the findings of the Human Rights Commission, that he used this song repeatedly over a period of time, and he would not take heed to not use that song because it entices the black people to go out and attack white people on their farms, to go and attack.
Absolutely.
Because it entices death, and it
does
in South Africa.
Yeah, incites to violence. Absolutely, yes.
But it's not just violence. It is they actually capture the white people on a farm, and they torture them by mutilation while the people are still alive.
Right.
The babies get raped. The babies get boiled in boiling water, and the parents must watch. The husband must watch his wife getting raped by a gang of eight blacks.
And that's not a hate crime. Rarely is that prosecuted.
But the singing of this song entices these blacks to go out, and they believe that the whites stole whatever the whites have, they stole from the blacks.
Right.
Because this is what this song entices. In any case, so...
Well, the blacks never had any farms. The blacks never had any farms anywhere in Africa. So how can a farm be stolen from a black person? Doesn't make any sense.
Pastor, they never had anything because the piece of land that they actually have their kraals on, and it's called a kraal, this place where they might have 20 or 30... not shacks. It's like a midden. It's a huts.
Yes.
And they,
huts or tents. Yeah.
That piece of land always belongs to the tribal leader, and the rest of his people were just his followers. They never owned anything. Not even the hut that he slept in. It belonged to his tribal leader.
Okay, all right. For the sake of argument, hold on. For the sake of argument, is it at all possible that any land that was inhabited by the Boer people belonged to any tribal leader? Because I understand that there were hardly any blacks in South Africa when the Boer people spread out in that region.
They were Zulus and they were Khoisas. Now, the Khoisas were... Sorry?
Khoisas. I'm trying to pronounce it correctly with the click, Khoisas, right? Because I know they use a click. Yeah.
Yes, it's a Khoisa.
Yeah, I can't do it. Khoisa. You do it very well.
Khoisa.
Yeah, okay.
But they were restricted in very specific areas of the land at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only when there were droughts that they would actually take their cattle and graze wider than the immediate area that they lived in.
Okay.
And on the basis of that, the Boers had actually visited wherever they found these blacks to be, they went and they visited those blacks and they drafted an agreement with those blacks. For example, the Boers, in particular in Piet Retief, in the case of Piet Retief, he went and he made an agreement with Dingaan, the Zulu leader or the Zulu king at the time, and they drafted an agreement whereby Piet Retief purchased. Mm-hmm. In other words, it did not belong to the Zulus, but because of an agreement that they wanted peace.
Yeah.
So in exchange for some work that they had done, they had actually fetched
stolen cattle
from a total different tribe about 300 kilometers away, about 240 miles away,
mm-hmm.
Where the cattle were already. So they went and they fetched the cattle for the Zulus, and on the basis of that, they then had an agreement that certain land would be the exclusive use of the Boers.
Right.
And that was how the Boers moved, and they established land which was uninhabited, that was not used for grazing, but they established these agreements so that they could live in peace. And that was whole objective was.
All right. So anyone who says the white man stole land from the blacks is a liar.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So the Boer people did not steal any land from any blacks. But now we see that today blacks are killing whites on the false excuse that whites stole the land from blacks.
Pastor, if anybody... If anybody can be accused of stealing land, it can only be the Cape Dutch Afrikaners with the Freemasons when they stole the Boer Republics, which is the biggest land grab in the history of Africa. The biggest land grab was when the Cape Dutch Afrikaners stole the Boer Republics in 1910. under the so-called unification of the four provinces, or that constituted the four provinces of South Africa. Because just after the land grab, the union government was formed, and that union government then disowned thousands of Boers from their land and their farms within the Boer republics and outside of the Boer republics. You must remember that the Boers, not all the Boers, undertook the Great Trek. Some families were, I don't want to use the word torn apart unabashedly, but many Boers did not go on this Great Trek purely because of, first of all, young children. Secondly, where they had already established an agricultural cultivation area. I mean, even my forefather, Andries Pretorius, he did not go out on the Great Trek. It was only after Piet Retief and his commando of men that had gone to Dingaan to negotiate this land. It was only when Piet Retief and his commando were killed off by Dingaan's impis that this lager of people that existed, or from where Piet Retief had moved with his commando to go negotiate with Dingaan, it was only after the death of Piet Retief and his, I think, 32 men that they decided to go back to Graaf Reinet, which is about 700 kilometers from where they were. It might have even been more, 1,000 kilometers might have been, to go and find Andries Pretorius to now take over the leadership of this lager.
Okay.
So, right. And the other thing I wanted to say is that with the 1910 unification, thousands and thousands of Boers were disowned from their farms, and these farms were then given to the very people who instigated, and they became part of the British military might that were unleashed against the Boer republics.
Mm-hmm.
So they were actually rewarded with the farms of the Boers after the Boers had been disowned.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a land grab within a land grab.
Yeah. So if anybody's land was stolen, it was Boer land. Everybody else is stealing the Boer people's land, and it's still happening today, folks. It's incredible how the global Jewish-controlled media will not tell the truth about the Boer people, who are the true victims of persecution in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And really nobody else. It's the Boer people. So let's continue here with Miss Momberg. On Wednesday, Miss Momberg, a white woman, became the first person in South Africa to be sent to prison. Not just to be dragged before a judge, but she was actually sent to prison for using racist language against someone, according to prosecutors and legal experts. Specifically, she hurled the term kafir, K-A-F-F-I-R, considered the most offensive racial slur in South Africa, just like the word nigger in America, so radioactive socially that it is often referred to as the K-word, and most people refer to nigger as the N-word here in America. Mm. Okay, so it's virtually identical status of the two words, all right? So now, in Johannesburg, Magistrate Pravina Raghunandan, which sounds like she's from India, or it's from India, sentenced Ms. Momberg to 3 years in prison with 1 year suspended. Can you believe that a person should go to prison for, well, in this case, 2 actual years for using a racial epithet while she was actually a victim of a robbery?
Yes, and she was in a state of shock, and she was being accosted by black officers, mm-hmm. and it so often happens that especially females, and especially when there's, for example, a traffic accident, they don't just become the victim of, for example, the accident itself because of the way in which taxi drivers drive, or even so many other black people. Mm-hmm. She then becomes a victim of the police or even the traffic officers. So, and of course, she would be in a state of shock. And I personally, I believe that this whole thing was drawn out of proportion exactly in the same way as the Boeremach, the Boere trial of about 10 years ago, 12, 15 years ago.
Yes.
And it's drawn out of proportion for the sake of subjugating the whites to the atrocities of the blacks. That is what it's about. Well, before it was a matter of subjugating the Boers to the atrocities of the Cape Dutch Afrikaners.
Right.
Of course, are Edomites as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we see that the Boer people have had to take the blame for the crimes of others throughout their history in South Africa. It's amazing. All right, so the judge refused to allow Ms. Mamberg to remain free on bail pending an appeal. So I guess there's an appeal pending, but he did not allow her to go free, and officers led her away from the courtroom. Her lawyer, Kevin Lawler, declined to comment. The decision was met mostly with celebration on social media. And so nobody cares about the fact that she was attacked and a victim of an attack. The only thing people are interested in is her use of the K word. In a majority black country where profound inequality coexists with memories of an apartheid system that institutionalized racial separation and oppression. Now, of course, this is the New York Times editorial here. Yes. Racial separation was institutionalized, but it was not oppressive. Black people under the apartheid system flourished more than any black people ever did anywhere on the face of the earth, and black people streamed into apartheid South Africa looking for work and looking for a better life, which was given to them by the white people of South Africa.
Well, even individuals like Idi Amin of Uganda and even Robert Mugabe came to South Africa for education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So,
and the other thing.
Yeah, was he being oppressed?
No, of course not. But this strange thing is with this whole thing of oppression or so-called racial oppression. Mahatma Gandhi came into South Africa in the height of the so-called apartheid oppressive years.
Uh-huh.
What did he come and do here? He came and made an appeal for the overthrow or the undoing of the oppressive and racially oppressive laws in India.
Right, which were being administered by the British Empire.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I think he saw that black people were being fairly well treated, even in a racially segregated society. Right?
Yeah.
So by what law are white people and black people supposed to integrate? Where's the law that says we should integrate? It's not in the Bible. I don't think it's even on the books of any country that we should integrate.
Pastor, in South Africa, there was a couple that had a guest house in the area of Sodwana, in the northern, outlying northern areas of Natal.
Okay.
And they, because of the type of environment that they're in, they in right in nature, they in an area where there's, for example, palm elves that live in a particular area in palm trees, and it is so important that there is always quiet, because those palm elves get unnerved whenever there is noise around, in particular, for example, noise with partying, etc.
Okay.
In South Africa, the black people are extremely loud.
Yes, they are.
Now, there's,
yeah, they are in Chicago, too.
And I'm not saying this in a derogatory manner. I'm just saying it as a matter of fact. They're extremely loud. They like to be heard, and they like mm-hmm. to be heard across halfway across the globe if it's possible. And they talk like that as well.
Right.
As if they want everybody to hear them halfway across the globe. Now, this... family, these, and at it's also Bible believing family, husband, wife, mm-hmm. Guest house that they run in very strict natural surroundings. And there were black people who wanted to go and have a weekend conference there, and by virtue of what they discussed, what they wanted. These people realized that there was going to be a loud, noisy environment, and they declined to actually accommodate this group because, first of all, they already had other groups or another group that was already that had already
reserved
and bookings for that particular weekend. But they were taken to court for being racialists, and eventually, they were, I can't remember exactly what the charges were, but they eventually abandoned even their guest house. It was abandoned because of the legal fees that they had to sit, or that they were sitting with terms of this.
Now, I'm sure no blacks are capable of running such a guest house because they would be too loud, right? So are you saying that these palm trees are affected negatively by loud noise, or is there some animal?
No, the elves. There's a particular elf that lives on these palm trees.
And what kind of animal is the L? I'm not.
It's a bird, an L.
Oh, okay. It's a bird. Okay. So in other words, these birds are racist and don't like the loud protestations of black people.
Well, Pastor, it is irrespective of how you look at it, the basis which they use to actually throw against white people in terms of racism is absolutely absurd. Absolutely absurd. I've heard of a case where somebody or a white man actually oversped in a particular stretch of road. Mm-hmm. And he was stopped by a traffic officer. And the traffic officer, of course, being a black man, because only black people get municipal positions like this.
Right.
And he wanted to be, he actually suggested a bribe, and the white man refused to pay a bribe. And he was called a racist for not being willing to bribe the traffic officer.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So these,
but he didn't use the K word, though, right? He didn't use the K word.
But it's so easy for somebody just to turn around and say you did, even if you didn't.
Of course. So this is, this is the justice in the non-white world, folks. This is what happens. Anybody who thinks that racial equality is the reality when you have a black run or a Jew run or a Hindu run government, you are sadly mistaken. It's a terrible thing when white people give up their dominion and allow non-whites to rule over us, because nothing but injustice ensues. And these episodes prove it beyond any shadow of a doubt that white people never get justice in any situation where non-whites rule. That's just the way it is.
Boss, something I just want to add something in with that.
Mm-hmm.
Very often these very so-called injustices which are then applied to the white man are actually enticed and suggested and even concocted for the blacks to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like in the case of AfriForum. AfriForum actually, I was busy with a story on AfriForum when they took Julius Malema to court, when it was evident that Julius Malema was going to be found guilty.
Yes.
They asked the judge for a period that the court be adjourned for them to negotiate with Julius Malema. And when they did, they came back and they asked the judge to overrule the Human Rights Commission finding that that song is hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
So the song itself was, or the hate speech aspect to that song was overturned by this judge, because AfriForum asked it to be overturned.
Yeah.
And it is now legal for a black man to sing the song "Kill a Farmer, Kill the Boer,"
mm-hmm.
and nobody can be taken to court, or nobody can sue
right.
Julius Malema if he sings that song, and even if people get
right.
killed because of him singing that song.
So, in other words, black racism is officially approved of by the state, and anything that offends a black person is considered racism if a white person does it. So it's clearly a double standard. No doubt about it. Clearly a double standard.
Austin, but the thing that I want to point out, this particular, it was an Afrikaner organization that overturned
mm-hmm.
the hate speech aspect of the song. So it would seem as if these people are, they are turning against themselves. But you must remember that Freemasons never turn against themselves. They always have an agenda, and that agenda is aimed towards a goal. And even if they seemingly lose face in the process, their resolve is always in their favor. They create a problem, and out of that problem, they create a solution that only works in the favor of their agenda. That
sounds very Jewish to me. Right?
Well,
yeah. Okay. The Jews have taught them very well that you cannot win against the commissars. The commissars
yeah.
always have a rigged system. You cannot win against
the Khazars.
Yeah, right. Khazars, right? Not Kafir, Khazar. Pronounce it correctly. So this is what we're dealing with. Oh, okay. So you were trying to say owl, I believe. Not. It came across as L, E-L. So it's owls, O-W-L, right? Owl?
That's right.
Okay. So these owls require peace and quiet, or are they what happens to these owls when they don't have peace and quiet? They can't forage properly, or any idea?
These particular birds mate for life, and they lay an egg once in 4 or 5 years.
Wow!
So that they are disturbed,
mm-hmm.
the parents fly away and they abandon the baby.
I see.
The baby died. And then there's, in fact, you can actually, with a wide disturbance of the peace, or the wide disturbance of the quiet of nature in that area, can actually leave a whole generation of owls dying.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
yeah.
It's a question of the
elimination of an entire species is at stake here. And the court did not realize this? Hello? Uh-oh.
Sorry, I'm here, Pastor.
Oh, yeah.
I just sneezed, and I turned my microphone off. I didn't want to sneeze in your ear.
Oh,
again.
Okay. right. So didn't the court take into consideration the fact that these owls might be detrimentally affected?
Pastor, there were so many avenues that these people pursued in terms of finding resolve on this, but the thing came back to this racism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're a white man and you breathe, you're a racist.
Yes. Guilt by accusation. Yes.
One of the blacks that I saw on Facebook actually said that by their very nature, whites are racists.
Yeah.
So, and they can make these statements wildly, and they even call for the killing of all the whites. If you go onto Facebook and you, in the South African environment, you see this frequently, that the blacks call for the eradication and the elimination of whites altogether.
Right. Well, whites never have demanded the eradication of blacks. Here, even in America, black slaves were employed, and they were actually well treated because you want your workers to work. You know, you don't want to injure them. And blacks have been employed legally, you know, as employees in businesses. So no white person, to my knowledge, has ever called for the extermination of black people. But yet blacks call for the extermination of white people constantly.
Constantly, Pastor.
Yes.
And in South Africa, it's busy becoming a reality. We are, I think, now on a scale of 10 in terms of genocide. We are on a scale of 7 at the moment. We have already passed through all the other stages.
Yes.
And it's now just we're approaching the final stages of genocide in South Africa.
Yeah.
But the sad thing is that the Boers have been the victims of genocide by the Afrikaners ever since 1658, when the first Freeburgers came to the Cape. They had been subjugated by the Afrikaners, or the Cape Dutch, in those days, and they were being marginalized, they were being antagonized, victimized, etc.
Right.
And that has become a war. In fact, I think I mentioned to you that I discovered a book which clearly defines the Afrikaner Broederbond as the instigators and the enticers of the Anglo-Boer War. They actually enticed the British government, and when the British government refused to attack the Boer republics or to annex the Boer republics, they then went ahead and they orchestrated the Jameson
raid
event.
Yeah. The Jameson raid. Yeah, which was designed to be blamed upon white South Africans, even though committed by British. Right.
No. That was orchestrated. The Jameson raid was orchestrated, instigated, and enticed by Cape Dutch Afrikaners against the Boer republics.
I was wrong about the British. It was Afrikaners who actually instigated the raid.
But Cecil John Rhodes, who was a British subject, he arranged for, because he had large mining concerns and businesses in Rhodesia at the time, and also in Bechuanaland. And he then arranged and he used the security of his mines as an excuse to obtain military clothing, etc., the British military uniform at the time. And that was used then to create a fake attack force, as if it was the British that had invaded or had this raid on the Boer republics.
Yeah.
And but there were many Afrikaners were involved in that, orchestrated that. And even when the Jameson raid failed, they continued, and that was when the Cape Dutch then went across to England and committed a conspiracy with Lord Rothschild, whom then, of course, closed the financial taps on the British government. The British government teetering on the edge of a cliff. They were going to become so bankrupt, or they're going to have to go and invade and... the Boer Republics. And of course, with the Boer Republics then became antagonized over time, because they used every excuse in the book to antagonize the Boer Republics. But you must remember that Jan Smuts, the Cape Dutch Afrikaner, Jan Smuts, of course, he was also Freemason and an atheist. He was part of the conspiracy, and he made himself available and moved to Pretoria. And then Otto Beit's son, whom was Alfred Beit, not Alfred Beit, Sammy Marx, a Jewish capitalist, then enticed President Paul Kruger to appoint Jan Smuts as Minister of Justice, or so-called state solicitor.
Yeah, and he installed a traitor. Installed
a
traitor.
But he was a Trojan horse.
Right.
And as a Trojan horse, he then did certain things. He was the one that actually drafted the declaration of war, because the Cape Dutch Afrikaners so much wanted the war, because they knew that the Boers would be greatly outnumbered by the British. Of course, the British having up to 470, close to 500,000 British soldiers, mm-hmm. and then also over and above that, the Cape Dutch Afrikaners that were underminers and were joiners. In fact, they presented themselves to be joining the Boer ranks. And when they have learned all the secrets of the Boers in that particular grouping, they would actually become joiners and join the British military forces. And and Pastor, if you go and read through the history, people wrote, foreigners wrote about this grave degree of treason that was actually committed, and
by the Cape Dutch. Yes,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is heart-rending. In fact, mm-hmm. I spent the whole of last night. I worked right through the night last night, reading through information that I never knew existed. I came across books, historical books written by individuals of stature. For example, Sir Percy Fitzpatrick, whom wrote a book that actually expressed meticulous details that existed in the Boer Republic at that time, and how the unknowing, of course, he doesn't know that he actually provided me with a wealth of information mm-hmm. on the Afrikaners, and how the Afrikaners actually turned out to be a total traitors to the Boer people, in defining these traitor Cape Dutch Afrikaners so perfectly into the picture as defined in the Book of Obadiah.
Right, interesting.
Okay. Absolutely, Pastor. What I've also found is that there are people that are actually following me on Facebook. They mm-hmm. are taking snapshots and screen captures of everything I say, and they're busy building a case against me.
Okay.
And that is because I'm speaking the truth. I don't use the K word. I use the A word.
Yeah, right.
I
T word, traitor. Word. Traitor. Right. Okay, we're running out of time. What is this book that you found? Is it online, or is it something?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. Maybe you could go ahead.
The book can be found by merely typing in Origin of the Anglo-Boer War.
Okay.
The Great 19th Century Conspiracy Revealed.
Okay,
that's the title of the book, and it's written by a British man who lived in the Orange Free State by the name of C.H. Thomas.
Okay. All right, very good. Thank you very much for the information. We've run out of time, Pastor. See you next time. Thank you.
Excellent, Pastor. Right. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. A soldier.